time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers, this is Lee Bockham, and we're here on the Thriver Podcast, the Thrive Nation Thriveology Podcast. We're here to talk about how to thrive in your life, how to live a bigger life, how to make an impact in the world, how to make a difference in your own life as you work to find different ways of raising your level of thriving, your thrive quotient. Now, this past weekend, if you were in the U.S., you celebrated Independence Day, the day that we declared our independence from another country, and in the process, really, we're declaring ourselves independent from tyranny and from a king. The reason I bring that up is because I was chatting with somebody, and I said, hey, you know, what are you going to do this weekend? What's your game plan for celebrating this? And his response was, I'm pursuing happiness. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kick back, have a beer, and pursue happiness. And it started making me think about that phrase. We hear it so often, the pursuit of happiness, that it's written right into our Declaration of Independence. And what that Declaration of Independence is that we're guaranteeing the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I've heard that phrase over and over, pursuit of happiness, happiness. Imagine this. It's mid-1700s. The colonies are fighting against imperialism and an absent ruler. In the midst of that, they're basically saying they're tired of being the purse of a king, of sending all of their fortunes across for taxation purposes and as a real estate place to send other people for opportunities and then have the resources sent back to England, to the king. And so really, it was a fight for values and for independence. It was really set up to proclaim a separation, to pursue ideals of governance, to change how governance went. And so I wonder if we really have thought through whether our founding fathers were saying that we were supposed to pursue the ideals of life, of the capacity of being free and of living a free life, of liberty, of having freedom to choose our values, choose our beliefs, the liberty to speak out against tyranny, to speak out against the government, the liberty to be a person. Oh, and then tacking on, to have fun, to have a good time, have a beer, watch the fireworks, to eat a steak, to pursue a hobby, to, you know, do what you want to do just to have a good time. Is that really how we group that of life, this huge idea of life, this huge idea of liberty, and then, oh, we'll tack on that thing, you can have fun? I doubt it. You see, I think we often pull out that idea of the pursuit of happiness, and we treat it as if it's equal to life and liberty, meaning the pursuit of jovial times, of having a good time. Is it possible that there's a richer, deeper meaning than some beer fest around the grill, followed by fireworks and maybe, you know, having a good time kicking the football or, you know, on other days of the year of having just a good time, of being able to pursue it? And a lot of people, as I've talked to them about that, have said, no, it's not a guarantee of happiness. It's just that we can pursue happiness. To which I responded, what do you mean by happiness? What do you mean by that? Because if that's all we're talking about, just that emotional moment, I think we're missing something. I think we're missing the reality of what our founding fathers, our founding parents were really about. You see, this phrase, as I've looked it up, comes from John Locke's idea of the responsibility of government, which is to protect life, liberty, and property. That was Locke's idea, that government was set up to protect people's lives, to protect people's liberty and property. And so at least the first two were borrowed, but property was kicked out and replaced with pursuit of happiness. And in that moment of saying pursuit of happiness, it got us away from the idea that the government was there to necessarily protect our property rights, but to put it on a bigger stage. Is it possible that happiness, at least as referred to in that Declaration of Independence, is not an emotional feeling, but about something else, about something bigger? So then we have to look back further. even maybe back all the way to Aristotle, Greek philosopher who said that happiness, true happiness, comes from civic responsibility, from meaningful work, from being involved in finding your purpose in life. And suddenly, there is a difference in what it means to be in pursuit of happiness. It's not a rationale for self-centered chase after fun and entertainment. It's not life, liberty, and have a party. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of purpose, the pursuit of involvement, the pursuit of capacity of being involved in civic affairs, in caring for others, in finding happiness as a broader context than just, wow, isn't that fun? I'm having a good time. But of really seeing happiness as being deeply involved in the world. In other words, happiness is really another way of saying thriving, that we're promised the pursuit of thriving, promised the capacity of pursuing thriving as we encounter the world, that what we're really guaranteed in that moment of independence is pursuing meaningful work as opposed to being stuck doing the desires of a king that's far away or the desires of a country that's far away, doing things that are not about our own involvement, but us being puppets, us not being able to go after purpose and not being able to find rich, meaningful investment in governance and in civic life and in purposeful pursuits in the world. Now that changes the tone of the Declaration of Independence and actually brings in the fact that our Declaration of Independence is really about us as individuals and as a country, because remember, that was what that Declaration of Independence was for, that the country had a chance of thriving. The country had a chance of saying, we are standing on the side of life, of liberty of everybody. And as you know, that everybody in the 1800s really became everybody. And in the 1900s, everybody even gender neutral, and we've continued to expand the idea of who is covered by that, but the idea that we are free to not have our life taken by a country, and that our liberty is not given up to another country. But more than that, that our own pursuit of happiness, our own pursuit as a country of meaning and purpose, of significance, is part of what we're guaranteeing. To say it differently, the Declaration of Independence is saying that we have the right to pursue a thriving life, to pursue an engaged life, a life of meaning and purpose, not of a party, not of a fleeting emotional moment, but of something deeper, something richer. I'd like to propose that there are four ways we can have more of the truth to the original meaning, more ways that we can move back to what our founding parents really believed about that whole idea of pursuit of happiness. The first one is that we seek more purposeful engagement in the world. That, as I've been saying, that we are about impact. What we know with study after study is that when people live a life of impact, of giving back, the richness that comes to them is far beyond the fleeting moments of happiness that they might find by pursuing some hedonistic pursuit. That what we know from looking at how people do good, the eudonistic, the good actions outweigh the hedonistic actions, the pleasure actions, and how long-term they affect our psychological well-being and our level of satisfaction in life. I mean, that really is what we're kind of looking for here. And so we have the right, the freedom to seek purposeful engagement of saying, you know, how can I impact the world? How can we impact each other's world to make this world a better place? Which is, in my opinion, a lot better than those momentary distractions of saying, you know, I think this would be fun if I chase after this little fun event, this little party, this whatever, that I'm going to be doing what the Constitution and what the Declaration of Independence guarantee. So instead, let's say that our first freedom is to seek purposeful engagement, to be engaged in the world in ways that are about purpose, not about just having a good time, but about purpose of creating an impact in the world that isn't just about us, but is bringing forth the capacity that we can bring something new into the world, that when we do that, we get something out of it. But so does the world, as opposed to the self-centered place of, let me have a good time. The second thing is that I think that we find some capacity of examining points of meaning and purpose in our life, to have a discourse about what makes life meaningful and how do I make meaning out of my life. That's a texture to it. That's a deeper purpose to it. And so as we seek out how to have those points of meaning and purpose in life, we begin to enrich the world around us, but we also enrich our own internal world. This is a place of standing up for what's important to us. This is a place of saying, this is what I believe in. This is what I'm willing to sacrifice for. This is what I'm willing to move into the world for. This is how I intend on changing myself and the world around me. So we begin to examine those points of meaning and of purpose in our life, just to look at them and say, what is it that does that? Let me tell you what happens when people fail to examine those points of meaning and purpose. They chase after the momentary thrill. They chase after the short-term fun. Now, I'm not saying that we should live lives that are devoid of fun activities, but I do believe that we have tilted the scales in favor of that being our pursuit. I'm all for hobbies. I have a ton of them. Yesterday, I was out paddling on my paddleboard out on the river with everybody else that was on their holiday weekend. I was out with all the boats that were going by, watching lots of people have a good time. It's not about not having a good time. It's about balancing that, of saying, you know, there's got to be time for recreation, for recreation of ourselves. But there's also a time of saying, how can I be more deeply invested in my own life and deeply invested in the world of the community around me, of those who might need my touch in some way? The third thing is that we recognize that life satisfaction has more to do with engagement, with purpose and impact than having fun. We've lost that capacity. I find it very interesting that how psychology, our own psychology, tends to take some idea from the social sciences or from experience and dumb it down, of make it something that seems easy and cheap. For instance, the idea of self-esteem. For a long time, we have made self-esteem feeling good about ourselves, forgetting that the original idea of self-esteem is feeling good about ourselves for good stuff that we do, for being proud of our actions. And so we've dumbed that down enough that we now have a whole layer of an educational system that is about praising kids for whatever they do so they feel good about themselves, rather than praising people for doing good effort and doing good work so they feel good about what they have done. The same is true for happiness. We take out one piece of it, the hedonistic piece of pursuing fun, and have forgotten the deeper parts of that true happiness comes from something else, from life satisfaction coming from engagement and purpose and impact, more than having fun, not instead of having fun, but more than having fun. So when we recognize that, we begin to approach that meaning in that triune idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that when those three are together, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of deeper engagement in myself and in the world around me suddenly has a much more rich meaning than I'm pursuing a good time. I'm pursuing having fun. It's not that there is no place for having fun. It's just that we've overbalanced the scale. And this gives us an opportunity of stepping back and saying, wow, maybe there's more than that. And the fourth one is really getting us straight in on that look for the challenge. When we are looking for what challenges us, we're taking on growth. When we're looking for how to have fun, we're probably not going to grow too much. I don't know many people who come out of a fun experience who have grown much. They might have had a few laughs and a few enjoyable moments and good memories, but not growth. Growth always comes from the things that stretch us, that push us into our places of discomfort, that stretch us into new areas of development, that cause us to grow into a new place of being. we humans are always in pursuit of deeper and deeper engagement unless we're derailed by just having fun. We're naturally wired for having deeper engagement, not just for looking for the cheap thrills, the fun moments, but for something deeper. And so when we look for the challenge, what's going to make it more challenging is much more than saying what's going to be fun today. What's going to be enjoyable today? What am I going to do to kick back and just have fun? So as we're pursuing happiness, let me even encourage us all to seek places of deeper involvement. We seek purposeful engagement, creating impacts around us. We examine points of meaning and purpose in our lives so that we know what feeds us. And then we recognize that life satisfaction has way more to do with that engagement, that purpose, that impact, than just having a good time. Not that we get rid of all the good times, but we put that in balance. And then we look for what challenges us. And there's an easy way to find what challenges us. It usually is associated with what makes us fearful. It gives us a little scare, not like the fear of riding the roller coaster over the top of the hill, that in your gut feeling, but the fear of, am I good enough? Am I strong enough? Am I capable of this? Am I the person to do this? The answer to all those is yes, 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 and yes, when we decide to take on the challenge and grow into it. Okay, those give us four ways that we can begin to get back to the original meaning of pursuit of happiness. Just wanted to kind of give a quick little talk about that as we are coming out of the holiday season and we're faced with what is the second half of 2014 going to look like. And let me suggest that the second half of 2014 can be all about the pursuit of happiness when we go back to the deeper meaning that our foreparents had for us on looking for deeper meaning, deeper involvement in the community, finding other places of being people of impact. So as you seek better ways of thriving, remember your moments of impact as the pursuit of happiness. Thank you for being here. I hope that gave you a little stuff to chew on, a little bit of thought this week as you're heading into the second half of the year. And if you really like this, I'd love for you to share it. You can leave a review on iTunes. That would be a great way of helping out. You can look up Thriveology on iTunes and just give us a review and a star rating. That always helps. You can also share this. If you're on Twitter, it's real easy. You can show us a little Twitter love just by going to Thriveology.com/love. That's Thriveology.com/love. We'll give you a pre-populated tweet just to let people know that you listened, that you heard something that was useful, and that they can find it too. Otherwise, I wish you the best as you continue to have a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it.